Welcome to Eastern Sierra Now. It is June 2nd. That's a Thursday, in case you're wondering. If you went all day and you didn't realize that, then probably got some more problems to deal with, I suppose. So let's jump right into it, shall we? There's an EDD backlog, and it's forcing California employers to wait for more than a year for hiring tax credit. California employers taking advantage of a big federal tax incentive to put disadvantaged people to work are waiting a year or longer to have their application processed due to a significant backlog at the EDD. Assemblyman Jim Patterson will be joined by two California small business owners at a virtual press conference Thursday, I believe that's today, to ring the alarm bells about a year-long backlog at the EDD in processing workforce opportunity tax credit applications. The WOTC is a federally funded program that gives employers a tax credit of up to $9,000 per person for hiring people on food stamps, veterans, formerly incarcerated felons, and people in several other categories. In order to get the federal tax credit, employers need a certificate from the California EDD confirming their employee qualifies for WOTC. According to the EDD, they are a whole year behind on this process and are just now going through applications employers submitted in June 21. The EDD confirmed to Assemblyman Patterson that as of late 21, there were almost 400,000 applications waiting to be processed. The backlog has likely grown since then, however, according to the EDD. Updated numbers on this backlog aren't available until October 22. Once again, EDD is telling people, we don't care, get over it, Assemblyman Patterson said. They've said it to unemployed people, they've said it to victims of fraud, now they are saying it to small business owners who are trying to do the right thing by helping put people back to work. Several local businesses owners reached out to Assemblyman Patterson for help as they await their certificates for the WOTC tax credit. So, that was today. So we will give you an update as soon as we hear how that went with Assemblyman Patterson. I really like that guy. I think he's doing a good job. I think it was good that we got moved into with redistricting over to his, because he's from Fresno, but we're part of that now. And I think that's going to do good for us. I hope so. Don't eat your hat, Jesse. So, more news out of Patterson, actually, now that I've rang his bell for him. This one has to do with the old solar panels. My favorite. This article actually written by our own Kayla Barton. Well done. If you want to head over there and give her a tip, she did a very good job on this. At the bottom, just click. It's sort of like a GoFundMe or a Buy Me a Coffee. Just click on there and hook her up. So, 2020 was an unprecedented year for California wildfires. More than 8,500 incidents through 53 of the state's 58 counties burned over 4 million acres and damaged or destroyed over 11,000 structures, inflicting 33 casualties. The August complex alone, burning over 1 million acres in 7 counties for 86 days, became the state's largest wildfire on record. Following the record-breaking year, in February 21, Assemblyman Jim Patterson of the 23rd District introduced Assembly Bill number 1078 to provide victims of the 2020 wildfires an exemption from current solar panel requirements when rebuilding their homes. Current law allows that residences damaged or destroyed by a disaster in a state of emergency prior to January 1st, 2020, can be rebuilt to the solar energy standards in place when the original building was constructed, not the standards currently in place at the time of rebuilding. Providing that the homeowner meets certain income, insurance, and square footage requirements, AB 1078 would extend that current exemption to the 2020 wildfire season, covering residential losses prior to January 1st, 2021, for homeowners with income at or below their county's median, without code upgrade insurance at the time the home was damaged, and who rebuild the home with equivalent square footage in the same site. Assemblyman Patterson noted thousands of homes were lost in 2020 wildfires. Many don't have enough insurance money to cover the cost of rebuilding as it is. These are not investors or real estate moguls. They are victims who are trying to come back home. AB 1078 will help ease the burden of rebuilding after everything that they had was destroyed. The proposed building exemption would remain in effect through January 1st, 2024, providing an extended window for construction and further cushioning the burden of rebuilding. Eastern Sierra Now reached out to Amy Smith, CFO of High Point Solar, to comment on the bill and the status of solar panel building requirements in California. Smith expressed that the company is pleased to see the bill moving through the legislative process, but added the additional amendments to current solar building requirements would also be beneficial. "We believe the best way to promote a reduced carbon footprint is by encouraging businesses and individuals with rebates, incentives, and tax credits. While there is a 26% federal tax credit in place at the moment, no California incentives exist. This is despite the fact that California is running at a record budget surplus." Smith also highlighted the widespread benefits all would enjoy under such a proposal. "Creating incentives for those who need it most would not only greatly benefit our planet, it would also provide relief from high electricity bills and put money back in the pockets of the people who need it most, while creating jobs and supporting the local economy." AB 1078, co-authored by James Gallagher of the 3rd District and Devin J. Mathis of the 26th District, has already passed in the state's Assembly Natural Resources Committee, Assembly Appropriations Committee, and Assembly Floor. It has now been approved by the state's Senate Energy, Utilities, and Communications Committee, and is moving to the Senate Appropriation Committee for voting. The bill may become one of many future new legislative acts needed to address the threats of a California wildfire season, which is continually growing in duration and severity. Thank you so much for that, Kayla, and thank you to Amy for reaching out and giving us that solar information. You know, speaking of Amy, why don't we cut to our advertisers?
The Eastern Sierra Now podcast is brought to you by Coppertop Barbecue, High Point Solar, Northern Inyo Hospital, Astorga's Mexican Restaurant, Mora's Mineral Treasures, Mammoth Brand, Mammoth Lakes Chamber of Commerce, Brood Awakening, Shorty's Speed Shop, Giovanni's, Perez Quality Tire, Bishop Hauling, Sierra Light Gallery, and listeners like you who donate at patreon.com/EasternSierraNow.
This is Emily with Mammoth Lakes Tourism, reminding you how to recreate responsibly around town. Walk, bike, and ride the bus. Reduce single-use plastics with a reusable water bottle that can be filled at water filling stations throughout town. Follow local leash laws and pick up after your pet. Don't litter. Recycle appropriate items. Don't feed our bears by always securing dumpster doors. Learn more and make your commitment to keeping Mammoth Lakes beautiful at mammothpromise.com.
All right. Thank you for that, Amy. And thank you, Mammoth Tourism. Speaking of Mammoth Tourism, tomorrow we will get out some information that we received today from them on Mammoth Voices. That's right. Mammoth Voices, which is the group of people that get together one Thursday a month at noon for 1 hour, basically spending their lunch hour listening to people talk about Mammoth. Each week has a specific guest that is invited to talk about something that they specialize in. This week was Emily Bryant, our very own favorite from Mammoth Tourism, talking about the different things Mammoth Tourism is doing to help the area. And there's some really cool stuff. So we'll have that together for you tomorrow on the podcast. You can listen to Emily talk about all that. Today, we are going to cut to the opener for Mammoth Voices, which was a young man named Aaron Kreisberg. He is a graduate from UCSB, and they have formed a group that is interviewing and polling homeowners and second homeowners in Mammoth Lakes to discuss defensible space around your homes to help prevent wildfires. They're reaching out looking for people to help them on that. Here's what Aaron sent me. "A group of graduate students from UC at Santa Barbara are conducting interviews among homeowners in the Mammoth Lakes area to better understand current perceptions of wildfire risk and fuel management. They are particularly focused on second homeowners who own single family homes. Their research will inform a communication strategy for the Eastern Sierra Climate and Communities Resilience Project and their client, the White Bark Institute. If you have questions or would like to provide your own insight, you can contact their representative, Aaron Kreisberg, at aaronkreisberg@ucsb.edu. And that's K-R-E-I-S-B-E-R-G. G. So if you're a second homeowner, he also did say that they are very interested in talking to just regular homeowners as well. Just mostly single family homeowners is what they're looking for. To reach out and let them know. And they would love to do their interview process with you and help help learn more about defensible space. But since we recorded it, why don't you let him tell you about it? So here is Aaron Kreisberg from UCSB.
Yeah, so I am a graduate student here in UC Santa Barbara, and so I'm working with a couple classmates on a communication project that we'll actually be presenting tomorrow, but we're presenting that end of it, and we're still doing some work even after that into next week for it. We're working with the White Bark Institute, a local nonprofit that's doing some work in the space, so we're helping them think about kind of community outreach and how to message and strategize regarding fuels mitigation and management around fire protection, specifically in Mammoth Lakes, but there is some idea that it can be kind of scaled up regionally. White Bark is currently hiring an education and outreach coordinator, I believe, who hopefully can take some of the work that me and my classmates have done and use some of that in the future. I can show you the presentation if you want, but I don't think it's really that necessary because I can just give you the rundown here. But yeah, as Mickey said, any folks, we're particularly interested in second homeowners, but if you are not, feel like you're a second homeowner, you're a year-round resident or another description, you are still welcome to get in touch with me and give me your thoughts because we welcome any insight. But specifically, we kind of discussing it with our client. Those of you who voted a couple of years ago might remember there was a parcel tax on the ballot in 2020 in the primary election, and it was a parcel tax to have a fee to go towards fuels mitigation, and it needed a two-thirds majority to pass since it was a tax, and it got like 65% instead of the necessary 66%. So it's a little bit of an interesting dynamic because talking to our client, we decided to focus on second homeowners. I mean, obviously this isn't just a topic that affects them. It affects everybody in the community, and particularly some of the other members of the community may even be more reasonable to reach out to, but we figured in regards to particularly that voting aspect, if somehow they are registered to vote in Mammoth, in Mono County, but then they are not residents there year round, is there a way to kind of engage them more both at the political level and then also at the actual individual level of how to do good fuels mitigation on their property and become kind of invested in that. A quick rundown of what we've done. We focused kind of it's a 10-week project, so we're actually done. Like, we're presenting tomorrow, and then we have some more outreach we're doing still on the client end. And so we did a lot of literature review, and we found some good literature, but it's rather dated. So there hasn't been a whole lot done in this space kind of from an academic perspective in the last few years, and not all of it's necessarily from the Eastern Sierra. And at least within our group, we feel like the fire situation has shifted to become a bit more extreme in the last 5 years. So that's something we really wanted to kind of link this rather dated literature to kind of more current perceptions. And I guess a quick rundown of where we got to. We ended up settling on, are there ways to kind of get landscape companies that are actually directed towards helping you do defensible space on your property? Is there ways to, because we kind of think of second homeowners, maybe they come in for however long they come in, and they don't necessarily want to spend their time clearing defensible space or removing trees, and they're too close to their property. So how to kind of link that time and aesthetic? And then maybe if you live here year round, you think, hey, I like my yard looking like it's not going to catch on fire, whereas somebody who comes in for a few weeks a year maybe looks at it and like, I want trees right up on my property. So how can we kind of shift that perspective?
Okay, thank you for that. And again, if you have any questions, you can reach Aaron at Aaron Kreisberg, that's Kreisberg, at ucsb.edu. Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine boosters are approved for 5 to 11-year-old age group just a couple of days ago. So if you've got a child in that age group and you want to get them the Pfizer booster shot, you now can. You can reach out to Mono County for that or any of the local COVID testing places. What's this? So should Inyo County raise its transient occupancy tax? The county is considering two possible ballot measures in November for voters to decide. If the TOT, or bed tax, should be increased in the face of rising operating costs, whether campgrounds and RV parks should be added to the TOT code. Get the facts on this issue, hear from your elected officials, and have your voice heard at the upcoming public meeting. That's June 3rd 5 to 8 p.m. in the Clint G. Quilter Consolidated Office Building, 1360 North Main Street in Bishop. I believe that's the jail. I'm kidding when I say jail, but it looks like a jail. Big brick building out past Grocery Outlet. So head out there and give them your what for on that. And what else do we have? We have a couple of obituaries, unfortunately. Just see if we have anything else to read before we get to that. So this one's not the obituary. We've already had that from my friend John Louth here. But this is letting us know that they are going to have a celebration of life. So please join us Sunday, June 12th at Mill Pond Recreation Area Gazebo. Gather at 10:30, ceremony to begin at 11. Come to celebrate the life of John Trees Louth. We will share tributes, food, music, and our favorite stories about John. Hawaiian shirts and San Francisco Giants gear are encouraged. And that'll be great. John was such a pleasure to know. Wonderful, wonderful human being. His family is wonderful as well. Great people. So get out there if you knew John, and you know that's going to be a fun event because John was pretty great. Looks like we also have in memoriam for Leon Steve Stevens. Leon Hugh Stevens was born January 16, 1933 in Alma, Nebraska. He passed on May 5, 2022. His parents were Leon Hugh Stevens and Mary Pauline Dodge. His grandfather, Dr. Burton Dodge, delivered him at his hospital in Alma, Nebraska, which is still there today. The hospital was later turned into a boarding house. His father died of pneumonia when Leon was 4 years old. His mother then married Henry Danielson, his stepfather, whom Leon loved. Leon, or Steve, was supposed to be a doctor and had a scholarship to a Kansas medical college. This plan was interrupted when his stepfather got Parkinson's and Steve had to take over the farm. As a boy on the farm, he loved the wildlife and all the farm animals. If an animal was injured, he doctored it. He dated his high school sweetheart, Marlene Durnell, off and on. They had fun together ice skating, roller skating, and going to movies. They were engaged for 1 year, baptized in the Christian Church in Alma, Nebraska, and were married August 10th, 1952, in the United Methodist Church in Almena, Kansas. They were married 70 years. It'll be 70 years on August 10th, 2022. Wow, that's incredible. Their advice to young couples is have fun together. They later had a farm sale and headed to California, where they stayed with Uncle Lawrence and Aunt Mamie in Santa Ana. After 2 weeks of searching, Steve saw an ad in the paper. The ad led to Steve getting a job as a mechanic because he had always worked on farm equipment. Later, he worked for Chrysler Corporation at their training center in Anaheim. There, he helped with the design of new cars. Lee LaCocca, CEO of Chrysler Corporation, gave Steve good advice. He said, "To be successful in your business, make people like you." That was great advice. Steve attended Orange Coast College and Oceanside Junior College, studying all phases of mechanics. Steve did not like the city back in those days. He would come to Bishop hunting and fishing as often as he could. He got a job at the Bob Braun Automotive, now Mr. K's. He also worked for Luther Motors and finally opened a small garage across from Bank of America. Every morning, he would sit out front and have coffee with Hackett Johnson, pastor of the Presbyterian Church. The property was sold and Steve had to move and eventually opened Steve's Auto and Truck Parts. Steve and Willis Smith met with LADWP about purchasing their leased property. At the first LADWP land auction sale, Steve was able to purchase the land where Steve's Auto and Truck Parts exist today. That was a miracle. Steve ran the business for 52 years with his wife Marlene. Steve always said, "My employees make this business." He loved them all. He said, "My customers, my friends." The business was sold 9 years ago to Robert and Katie Dowers. He had known Robert since he was a little boy and felt he was the best person to carry on the business with service, honesty, and integrity. Robert and Katie are doing just that today. Steve and Marlene lived on Ranch Road for 52 years, where Steve was always interested in the Bishop Creek Water Association. He wanted everything to be fair, equal, and for everyone to get along. While serving as president of the association, he worked with LADWP, Southern California Edison, and Inyo County to try to solve problems. Steve's hobby was gardening. He loved growing everything, especially vegetables and flowers. These were shared with everyone in the Bishop area. Steve and Marlene have thoroughly enjoyed their retirement. They have traveled around the world. They had been fortunate to be able to go to many foreign countries and states in the USA to conventions for auto parts dealers. They traveled to every state except North Carolina. He was very interested in the history of the valley and summited almost every peak. He also loved exploring every old abandoned mine he could find on this side of California and Nevada, always dragging his grandkids along. When he retired, he and his close friend Richard Moss continued the tradition, finding lost herds of wild horses and bighorn sheep. Steve supported the United Methodist Church for many years in the the Lord's work to help with children and youth. In the last year, Steve and Marlene enjoyed studying the Bible and having their fellowship with Calvary Baptist Church. He was a part of God's Wild Men, which is a men's Bible study. Steve was interested in the youth of the community and wanted them to live a good life. Many students worked in the office and shop at Steve's Auto Parts and said, "This is the best job I have ever had." Steve supported both the Junior Livestock Show and Auction, any high school sports programs in need, and also was a big help to Greg Newcomb's Bishop Union High School Auto Shop class. Steve was a unique person. He was kind, loving, and generous. Marlene always said he would give away his last shirt if someone needed it. He was a man of integrity and strong character. He always tried to stand up for what is right in the eyes of God. He was loved by many, and he will be missed. With a beautiful sunrise and an incredible sunset on May 5th, 2022, Steve was welcomed to heaven, where he will help with the beautiful flowers there. Many friends and family in Kansas and other states are sharing in the sadness and they cannot be here. Steve and Marlene have two children, Mark and Michelle, and two grandchildren, Zane Charles and Clayton James. These boys loved their grandfather, Steve, who has been their inspiration, their idol, and their rock. A celebration of Steve's life will be held Saturday, June 18th at 1 p.m. at Calvary Baptist Church. That's 1100 West Line Street in Bishop. Refreshments will follow the service. There will be a private burial. Donations to Steve's memory can be mailed to Bishop Union High School Career and Technical Education Department at 301 North Fowler Street, Bishop, California, 93514, or to a favorite charity of your choice. Well, thank you so much, Steve, and you are definitely a beloved member of Bishop and the Eastern Sierra. So I think that's going to be it, guys. I'm sure we have ran really long today. So let's just head on out and we will come back tomorrow. Remember, we will have that Mammoth Voices meeting to air with Emily Bryant talking about Mammoth tourism. Okay, see you later. Bye.